This is the episode for you. Go get a pen and pad. You don't want to miss this. Straight up. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Bogdan. I'm a human system architect. I'm here with Nina on Straight Talk. And if you are an entrepreneur that is trying to scale the business but is reaching a cap and it feels like you're going 3 steps forward and 2 backwards, and you have all the knowledge, all the systems in place, but something is holding you back like invisible force. And you've tried all the mindset hack therapies and everything that may come from the mainstream, but nothing actually calms down that anxiety, that stress. Then this is a show that you don't want to miss, because here you will learn how to deal with all of that.
What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. So, permanent emotional freedom, is that even a freaking thing? I think it sounds like impossible, right? It's until I met this young man that I have coming up. His name is Bogdan Mikhoff, and he really has taken this thing to another level and transformed his life. So after surviving a stroke at 33 and walking away from a $50 million sales career, he really discovered one truth. You don't need more mindset work. You don't need to have all of the declaration things. You need deletion, right? So this is when I was speaking to him a couple of days ago, and I'm like, okay, I gotta have you on the show. Like, we have to have you, right? He's the creator of the Be Relentless Method. He's helping high performers erase years of emotional baggage, burnout, self-sabotage, because y'all know that y'all be dealing with that kind of stuff. I know, because I speak to you, right? So he talks about doing these things, and he talks about doing it fast, right? But to have this way of thinking that is a permanent emotional freedom, that's why he is here on Straight Talk. We have got to get him up here. Hey, how are you? Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, I am very good. It's my honor to be here on your show, Nina. I was watching some of your episodes yesterday, and I just wanted to say, it's really my honor to be among one of your guests. And I want to congratulate you and kudos to you for doing such an incredible job. I know it's not really easy to produce and to deliver everything that you're doing it, but you deserve all the regards and all the rewards about that. So whoever is listening this or watching this show, please show some love. Go on every platform that you are there, put some 5-star review, subscribe, share, because what is Nina doing here? I think that we should have more people like this.
Oh, thank you. Listen to him. Whatever he just said, all of it, okay? Thank you very much. I do have amazing humans like yourself, actually, because you guys are the ones really doing the work in the world, right? So it's not like everybody who's on TV and all the artists and the stars and blah, blah, blah. That's whatever. I like to speak to actual real human beings who have been through something in life and then use that to transform the life of someone else. That is the goal. Right? Because I feel like that's what we're here for. We're here on this earth to experience life, the good, the bad, the ugly, and then help someone through as they're experiencing it too. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. My belief is we are not human beings having spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having human experience.
Agreed.
And expanding and growing. So if there is no contribution, what are we even doing here? What are we even doing here in this life? There is a little bit of kind of delusion among many people. They think that I need to get first, and then after I will start giving. It's against the nature of universe in life in general. I mean, would you be able to grow an apple tree if you don't nurture the seed first, if you don't plant the seed and then nurture it, you give all that effort, that love, that that care about it so it can grow in something so you can harvest the apples after that?
Right.
If you don't put an effort, pay a coach, pay membership in the gym, start eating healthy, if you don't give from you, how are you going to lose weight and how you're going to have a six pack and how you're going to get back health? Yes. It's impossible.
Yes.
So I think that when you start looking in life from that perspective, life becomes a little bit different in a positive way.
Yeah.
Because giving without expecting anything back in return, for me, in my model of the world, equals freedom.
Mm. Yeah.
Non-attachment, no judgment, no blame, just pure love and care and compassion.
Now, was this something that you have always done in your life? Because I want to know a little bit more about you. Like, who is Bogdan, right? Because what you just dropped was a lot of wisdom and knowledge, and that comes from somewhere, Bogdan, right? That comes from experiences you've been through, from maybe some people that you've been following or people who have spoken in your life, mentors, whatever. So I want to know about you. Where are you from? What got you to this point where you're now helping others break free?
Yeah, I'm originally from Macedonia. I'm born and raised until my very early 20s, like until 20 in Macedonia. And is this how I have been always been? No, I haven't been. It's how mm-hmm. I have been raised to a certain point. Mm-hmm, because mm-hmm, when we get mm-hmm. born, we know nothing. We know how to grow, rough and smell. And then we learn what a value is. Then we learn what morality it is. Then we learn and we implement our beliefs, belief systems, and everything that comes with it. But we are definitely not born with it. However, part of my upbringing and my family, especially from my father, I still have his voice in my head saying, I will try to translate it in English. He says, like, the hand that gives never get cut off.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's how I kind of grew up in that part. But now I live it more than ever. Here is the thing. Because sometimes we know things, we think we know them, but we just know of it. We don't have an absolute knowledge. We don't embody it until it becomes knowing it, unconscious competence. When we embody it, integrate it within our being, we are just knowing of it. We are capable to talk about it. We are capable to teach people. We are capable to present ourselves with that knowledge.
That's so good.
Don't really know it. And with time, with life, and how life went through, I've learned, and I actually get it. Then I got it even deeper level, so I can kind of operate from that place.
You said a lot there, because, you know, I think that's where a lot of maybe leaders or coaches or things like that actually fail, right? Or not actually produce what they said they're going to produce because of what you're talking about, right? Because you're talking about, it's not just about the knowledge, the head knowledge or knowing it. You're talking about an innate thing. Something is deeper than that, right? Something where you're actually not just saying it, you're being about it. Right. And that says a lot, right? Because I'm thinking as you're talking about, you know, I've been through a lot of coaches in my growth here, you know, doing the things that I've been doing. And some were great and some just had a great talk, but didn't deliver. Right. And so that's what you're talking about, right? Like truly embodying something that you are not just speaking the words about that freedom, emotional freedom and all that kind of thing, but you're actually living it. And then teaching others to live that too. And that's really powerful, because when I was reading your bio, you talk a lot about that permanent emotional freedom, which I wanted to get into, right? Because what the heck does that even really mean, right? And why do most people not experience that? Why do we not experience permanent emotional freedom? And I've never even heard anybody put it that way, Bogdan. So
yeah, here is the thing. Let's break it down a little bit.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Break it down and have it a little bit to understand first about what emotions are. where they come from and why most of the people struggle to actually get that permanent emotional freedom. And when I will really kind of dissect it so it can be a little bit more digestible for the people. I'll try to use simple language. So here is the thing. We all have a certain results in life. You're experiencing your own results in life, right? Whether it's in career, money, love, relationship, health and fitness, we have results. Now, we have results that we like and results that we don't like. And usually the results that we don't like, then we call them problems, right? We start calling them problems, those results.
Because they're a problem.
You know, you want to label them. Right. In my day-to-day, most of the time, the word problem does not exist. Because if the problem, I don't even use it. I call it a result that I don't like because the word, the label itself, problem initiates something negative. And then do you see why people experience negative emotions? Because even the labels that you're using in their language to describe the world, it's carrying a certain meaning. So yeah, let's go there. Results, right? We like them. We don't like them. Now, where results are coming from? Where the results are coming from? Results are coming directly from the sum total of our behaviors. Which means actions that we took and actions that we didn't take. Things that we do and things that we don't do. Right? So logically, if we just change the behavior, right, the results are going to change. However, how easy is that for the people? How many people they sign up in the gym, they pay the coach and they go for the gym and just changing the behavior, they start doing things and they just relapse back into the same thing. How many people they will go on 10 days retreat or something else, they will feel better, come back to their, let's say, day to day, and they relapse again into the place where they were, because that's a proof that something drives the behavior. So what drives the behavior? What we're going to decide? That's our emotions, our state, right? Because if you're fearful, you will behave one way. If you're fearless, you will behave different way.
So true.
If you're angry, you will behave one way. If you're calm, you will behave completely different way. And that will going to lead to different results. And now here is the thing. You know all those people when they say, like, I cannot stop feeling this way. I don't know how I'm feeling this way. Well, yeah, you don't know it consciously though, because you're aware only from 5% of everything that you do and think throughout the day.
Is
unconscious, that, or people can call it subconscious, the same label. It's unconscious that you are not really aware of. So when we think about it, where does our feeling, the experiencing emotion comes from? What produces those emotions? Our thinking creates our feeling. Or to say it even better, even more precise, the meaning that we assign on those thoughts.
Create
the emotion, the meaning that we assign on that thoughts.
Yes.
So what this says, experiencing emotion is just a feedback mechanism for the quality of your thinking. It's a feedback mechanism for the quality of your thinking. If you experience a negative emotion, which may be, you know, anger, sadness, frustration, anxiety, you feel physical pain. Your hypothalamus releases certain chemicals through your body, through your system, through your bloodstream, certain enzymes, peptides, proteins, and they produce certain unease, or some people can call it even this. It's uncomfortable feeling. And that's why people feel like knot in the stomach, pressure in the chest. And that's your own body, your own unconscious mind telling you, hey, idiot, this hurts. Stop thinking this way. The same way, like the same alarm, the same feedback mechanism is if you pinch yourself on the skin, you feel pain because your unconscious mind directs you, tells you, like, stop pinching the skin. You are going to break that organ.
Oh, that's so good.
The same with your emotions. So it's just a chemical that is a feedback mechanisms for the quality of your thinking. So if you want to have emotional freedom, you need to actually start changing the way you think. And Dr. Wayne Dyer always says, like, when you change the way how you look at things, the things you look at change. So that's what exactly means. Change the meaning of the thought, and then we change the emotion, that will change the behavior, and behavior will going to change the results.
Right. That's so good. That's so good, right? Because you're talking about, but you're also talking about ownership, right? You're also talking about people taking ownership of the fact that they are feeling those things or thinking those things, right? Because I know people who are victims of everything that happens. They're never the person of the reason it happens. They're never taking ownership, right? Yeah. And but what you're talking about being consciously aware of the subconscious is what I'm hearing, right? And you're right about when you see something and you change the meaning, it changes. And it's very true, because for many years I was the victim of being abused, the victim of all the things. And then one day I shifted that and started thinking, well, why did that happen? And what did I learn from that? And why was that a good thing? Instead of looking at it as the most horrible thing. And, you know, I love that. I just love this whole thing. This whole thing is good. Okay. So I have a lot of little things I'm picking out in the air. Have you ever struggled yourself with a substance abuse or addiction to something, or any of those things that have held you back in your life? Were those any of issues in your life that you had to contend with?
I never had any type of addiction, a part of certain periods of my life where I was consuming alcohol pretty often. But when I say pretty often, is maybe I will get drunk 3 times a week, you know, something like that. And that was kind of my escape from emotional pain. That was my escape.
That's where I was going, because a lot of people that I've spoken to and people that I know in my life, you know, use a lot of things to escape the pain. Now, one of my sayings is you have to feel it to heal it. Right. And I feel like sometimes you need to be you need to be sober minded in order to deal with what's coming up. Right. And I love that you're really getting to the root of that. You know, what does that really mean? Well, it means to get to the root of what you are thinking so that you can start changing everything. Right. You say that we don't need more mindset work. So you need to start explaining to me what that means, right? Because you said we need deletion. Yeah. And I want you to explain what deletion is and how does that actually work subconsciously? So, because everything you're saying, I 100% agree with, right? Yeah. How do we start becoming free, Bogdan? And what is deletion? What is that? How do we do this?
I will continue the story. We already agreed. Thinking, meaning-making process creates the feeling. The feeling creates the behavior, the results.
Yes.
Right? So here is one layer deeper that not many people actually even consider. Where that meaning-making process comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And meaning-making process is just a filtering data. That's three main filters called deleting, distorting, generalizing, that we're going to decide. And in the meaning-making process is the sum total of all of our values, all of our beliefs, attitudes, memories, and experiences, which means that the meaning-making process is directly correlated with our conditioning, with our past experiences. So if we really want to have a permanent change, we need to attack the conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the conditioning? Everything that we have learned. Because as I said, when you were a baby, the only thing that you knew is to laugh and smile and be in peace. You didn't know about career. You didn't know about money. You didn't know about love. You didn't know absolutely anything about that. And then the world, it takes its hands on you. Your parents taught you a certain way. This is wrong and this is right. This is good. This is bad. And most of it is unconscious and literally deeply wired in your system by the age of 7. Mm-hmm. Then from the age of 7 until 14 is the modeling conditioning, mm-hmm, when you start mm-hmm. modeling your parents, your everything. And after 14 till 21 is the social conditioning. By 21, you are already identifying yourself with something. Yeah. And they will say, this is who am I? And I would say, no, this is not who you are. This is who you learn to be. So what deletion means is, take this quote. You don't need to find yourself. You need to delete what you're not.
Damn. Hold on. That was good. Do it again. Do it again. That was so good.
I will continue with these parties because many people say, I need to become this person. I need to become this person. I need to become, what is the person? I have many coaches out there, you know, like everyone and their grandmother will going to ask you, like, who is it that you want to become?
Oh, yes. That is the big question.
And I always say this, you don't need to become someone else. You need to unbecome who you weren't to begin with.
Damn.
You need to remember who you truly were before the conditioning, before the world took its hands on you and shaped you into what you believe you are right now. So deletion is exactly deleting those beliefs, values, anything that does not serve us a purpose anymore. And you know that in my family, because I'm not coming from a wealthy family, we're coming like mediocre, even below mediocre type of family. I'm coming from Macedonia. I got raised up in a time of transition after war. Yugoslavia was falling apart. There was shooting everywhere. I remember my father, my mom, my grandfather, they were wait for 2.5 hours in a queue in front of the supermarket just to buy milk for me and my sister. Wow. So it was a difficult time. And then after capitalism started, and in that moment, there was a lot of shady things coming in the country and a lot of corruption and everything. So I got installed a belief that being rich means you need to be a bad person to be rich. Yeah. You need to be arrogant. You need, because I have been hearing my father saying, "Oh, my boss is this." So all those nasty, ugly words, and that, guess what, reflected on me later on. So the moment when I start making progress in my career and I start earning more, I start sabotaging it unconsciously because I become rich, I'm going to become a bad person. And I'm not conscious.
A lot of people are convinced of that right now, Bogdan. That's the new thing now. Rich people are bad people.
That's a meaning, right? And that meaning making, the moment when I start making money, it's literally I go 3 steps forward, then 2 backwards. I need to spend the money. I need to go. I buy a car of $350,000. I don't even need that car.
Right.
Like,
right.
Why do I even need that? You know, there are some stupid decisions that I made in the past like that got me to awaken what is actually working in the background. Changing the belief is deletion of the old one.
Right.
It's deletion of the old one. And it's easier said than done.
Right, I was going to say that.
It's easier said than done for majority of the people, but trust me, it's way more simple than you can imagine. You just need to have the right access, the right tools, and the right process. I'm going to explain what I mean by that.
Yes.
Let's say there is a limiting belief. Let's say that was a limiting belief. Like money is evil. Or rich people are evil people. And that runs. Now, most of the people, most of the coaches, everyone there will start reframing it. Yeah, but you're reframing it consciously.
Right? Yeah.
And you're going to keep on doing that every single day. And very, very, very ultra, very rare occasions, you will kind of overcome that part. Unless something drastically happened in life and you kind of get convinced in somehow. Otherwise, it will keep on going. I take a completely different approach. My approach to change that belief, and it can be done in literally 5 minutes, is first understanding that what is belief? first understanding what is belief. Mm-hmm. Belief is just a generalized thought that was accepted as true, where mm-hmm. we decided that this is true consciously mm-hmm. or unconsciously, and that practice over the time, and we are practicing until become that unconscious competence that we were speaking at the beginning, and you don't even know it's there, it's running there.
Yeah.
So if you want to deal with that limiting belief, we have to deal with that limiting decision. The moment, which is the root cause of creating the limiting belief. Mm-hmm. And in that root cause, almost always, there is deeply wired negative emotion. Mm-hmm. And that wired negative emotion and that limiting belief, they're like supporting each other. They are fused. So what do you want to do there? If you really want to rewire that belief and change it, the first thing is you need to release the negative emotion that is there.
Right.
Delete the negative emotion that is acting like an anchor, like a glue, like a cement. Mm-hmm. When that's done, then you can replace it. You will practice it 1, 2, 3 times at that same minute, second, and you have already created a new neural pathway.
Right.
So take it like this. That conditioning is, imagine if you're living on top of a mountain and your grocery where you buy your supplies, it's down on the bottom of the mountain. So every day you need to use skis. You need to use skis to actually go down and get your milk and get your soup, right? And the first day you go, start skiing downwards and you create marks, you know, like mm-hmm. ski marks. The next day you use that ski marks because they're familiar. Mm-hmm. You use them again. Then the next day you start using them again because they're familiar, they're secure, they lead to the right destination. And after a few days, that ski marks, the snow has frozen there and they are permanent. So you just go there, you can predict it, and you start going there. My job as a human system architect to delete that way of thinking that this means this and this is to create extreme blizzard on that mountain.
Oh my
like,
God.
A blizzard.
Well, sounds like fun, Bogdan. Sounds like fun.
Like a blizzard, or which represents a certain confusion.
Yeah.
A certain confusion where we literally force the brain to create completely new, to grow a new brain cell that is being used as mm-hmm. another new neural pathway, so that thought can move from one side to another mm-hmm, with a different mm-hmm. emotion. So mm-hmm. that's the deletion in short term. I mean, it's a little bit more.
Of course, there's a lot more to this.
But it is possible. If you go on my socials and let's say especially on Instagram, because I like posting a reaction of my clients straight away, you will see that they come with a problem and after several minutes, they don't even remember what the problem is anymore.
Right. Because you've caused the blizzard.
But here is the thing.
I love that.
It releases the negative emotion. And when it releases the negative emotion, it's kind of, they don't even know why they are even there anymore. Simply because it works on a very quantum mechanics level where mm-hmm. you blew up the boundaries on a quantum level of that problem, of that thought, so it does not work that way anymore. And it's a lot of fun to watch, but it's very interesting to see how people even forget about their problem in several minutes. And when I speak about problem, I'm talking about emotional problems, right? The moment when that emotion is gone, then we can work on the belief. Then we can work there. We can take another part. And then we are recreating. We are recreating literally our whole set of beliefs, set of values, everything around. That's why it becomes a permanent. But I'm not saying that you will not going to experience a negative emotion.
Of course. I mean, it's life, right? Yes,
You will. But my job is to prepare you so when you experience, to notice that, what was the emotion? Feedback mechanism for the quality of your thinking.
Right.
I mean, those, even fear, even anger or any of the negative emotions, that they have their own role in our being.
Yeah.
They're here to warn us. If you don't get afraid, you may go next to an alligator to rip off your head.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're not going to save yourself.
It's so true.
You will jump from a 100-story building.
Right. It's true, right? It is a natural instinct to want to survive. It is a natural instinct, right? I did have a question for you, because this is more of me and my belief system and what I believe also, right? What is your belief system, and do you believe, how do I want to phrase this? Where does God or a higher power play in this way of thinking that you have? Like, do you believe that there's a higher power? Do you believe there's a God? What do you believe on that?
Well, I believe that he's all that it is.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well,
I know that's a jarring question, but I'm so curious.
I mean, I respect everyone's religion. Mm-hmm. I do not follow the books.
Okay.
Because my belief system is a little bit different.
Okay.
Many religions, they see God like something separate from us. Mm-hmm. Like something that we need to pray to outside of us. Mm-hmm. My belief system is we are part of God and God is part of us.
Okay.
We are not separate. Where the true faith comes. Because many people, they will do certain things in their life and they will find God. Mm-hmm. And they will pray to God. And then after, when something does not go well in their life, they will start blaming God. Why you didn't give me this part, right?
Yes.
Well, where is your faith now, dear? Right? Like, where is your faith now? Now, that's called externalizing responsibilities.
Okay.
In my mind, if we pray to God about strength, God does not give us strength, give us events and opportunities.
Yeah, to develop that strength, 100%.
Develop that type of trait, which is part of us. And if the God is all that it is, and all it is God, it's not separated from us.
I see.
So it's not separated from us. That's how I say it. And you can call it God, you can call it source, you can call it universe, you can call it, put a different label, unconscious mind, but I am convinced that there it is. Maybe I take a different angle, but it is a higher power. Let me remind you, how did you come on this world?
What do you mean? By my parents, but through conception? Is that what you mean?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct conception. But how does, from a speck, it created a sperm cell?
I don't believe. I honestly, that's not my belief system, though. I don't believe that. It's just far-fetched for me to believe that there was an explosion and we all became. I don't believe
that. There is this infinite intelligence that made us from nothing into something.
Yes.
You didn't think how to grow lungs or something else. Well, I take that part of God. That's a God's work, right? Mm-hmm. Just not in the religious way. I take it like something, even a higher way, that where there is something, but it's not separate from us. We're all made of cells. All the cells are made of atoms. All the atoms are made from subatomic particles. All the subatomic particles are made of something called vibration, mm-hmm. energy. And that's the essence of everything. Your microphone, your glasses, your heart, your table, your laptop, the air that you're breathing, it is made from the same thing. The whole universe is designed from the same thing.
I see.
And if we're thinking about the universe, believe is, or scientists at least say, that the universe started its journey to start creating after the Big Bang, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, who initiated the Big Bang?
Exactly. That's my point. Exactly.
if that's not enough proof that there is a certain higher power out there, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But if it's being used for us to externalize responsibilities so we don't take responsibility about our own being, in our own doing, then we are just pretending that we believe in God or anything. Then we are just wearing a mask because it needs to be like some social fit in.
Yeah. I totally get that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for explaining that. I just wanted to ask because, right, for me, I'm a Christian, right? So I believe in God and I believe the Holy Spirit is in me. Like, I believe that as well, right? And I know that lots of people believe that, you know, there's definitely a higher power. There's, you know, the universe and energy that's beyond themselves. And I believe that, you know, that's where the same thing you explained, that's where they pull from that energy, right? For me, it's a little bit different that God isn't such an impersonal energy, right? That to me, he's more of a living relational creator who loves, guides, and speaks to me. And, you know, that's just my belief system. So I was just very curious to see what yours is.
I agree with everything that you said. I don't use certain labels that people want to use.
Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
It absolutely speaks to us. I mean, acceptance is the first thing that we need to learn if we want to learn in peace. To accept that we are exactly where we're supposed to be in life.
I believe that too. I mean, I believe we have free will and that we are supposed to be where we are. And we're also supposed to change and shift, right? Yeah. I think of a scripture in Colossians that says, for in him all things were created, and he is here before all things, and in him all things hold together, right? So that's why I was asking you about that faith piece, because that was like, that's an important piece to me and who I am. And you know that because you've listened to a few of my episodes. So I'm sure you already knew that was coming. But thank you so much for explaining your view on that. I appreciate you taking on that question. Really, I do. Oh, it's awesome. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love the subject. Yeah. I love it.
I love it. I love the way your mind thinks too. That's really cool.
I'm just not in denial of other religions there. Mm-hmm. I'm just not refusing because I had a certain period of life because I have been born as an Orthodox Christian, right? Mm-hmm. In our family. And then I moved in Dubai, where I lived for 16 years. Mm-hmm. In 16 years. And there I got curious about Islam, so I started reading the Quran. Mm-hmm. Then I got interested in Taoism and then Hinduism and then Shinto, the Japanese. And when you really break it down, comes back to the same thing, right? But that's why I don't want to take a label or a side here and there. And I have my own, but the faith is big because I know that I exactly where I supposed to do. Another emotional freedom. Here is the thing. If something happens in your life right now in the moment, I don't know, you stay broke, right? Mm-hmm. You can assign a meaning of it. Oh, I'm a piece of shit. I'm a terrible person. Why I'm broke and all that part is going to be, and you experience sadness, depression, guilt, and all of that. Or you can say, cool, what can I learn from this?
Yeah.
How can I grow out from this? That's the faith, right? That whatever happened now, it's teaching us a lesson.
100%. I believe that.
Literally changing the meaning-making process. And change the meaning, emotion changes, vibration, frequency raises, the behavior changes, results change again. So you can choose free will to dwell and think about the things that you don't want in life and just keep on seeing that, or you can change the focus towards things that you do want in life and take an action towards that, no matter what happened in the past.
Well, you're talking about peace, right? You're talking about being centered. You're talking about actually having fulfillment. That's what I hear you saying, right? Because you yourself survived a stroke at, I was 33, right? And you rebuilt yourself and you took those experiences and rebuilt what you have now. And now you teach the psychology of calm, I think I was reading, right? The calm power. How the heck do you teach calm? How is that going to be the new competitive edge when everybody's telling you to be obsessed with the hustle? right? So talk to me about what you're doing right now with your people.
So here is the thing. There is one very interesting book for everyone from Dr. David Hawkins. It's called Force versus Power. I mean, I support hustle. So here is what people don't understand. I support hustle fully. But you don't need to suffer while you're hustling.
Right. I thought we were supposed to.
You can still put the same amount of effort. You can still put the same amount of hours while feeling calm, right?
Yeah.
Let me give you
biology.
Like, this is a science. The moment when we are under stress, we are practically stupid. I don't know if you know that, but we are practically dumb. Why? When we are stressed or experiencing negative emotions, we go into fight or flight mode.
Right.
Fight or flight mode, our digestive system shuts down. So we don't have enough energy. It's not being distributed. So we experience burnout, fatigue, and all of that.
Yeah.
Then our immune system shuts down, which means if we are not even recovering properly. That's why people sleep for 16 hours and they feel tired again the next day. And our frontal cortex, the CEO of our brain, just shuts down, goes offline. Right. And we have access to maximum of 20% of our intelligence.
I did not know that. Well, okay.
Let me remind you.
I've got a lot of experts on here. Nobody told me that all that stress made me dumb.
But let me remind you.
Oh,
here is the thing. Let me remind you. A person gets angry, stand up, punch the wall, break his hands. That's a very intelligent thing.
Right? So true. I know you're not in your right mind, but you're absolutely right. There is a level of intelligence that leaves the room, doesn't it? I mean,
it's a very big level of intelligence leaves the room. That's called unresourcefulness, right? So that's why people, if you're an entrepreneur, how many times maybe people will going to recognize themselves? They have the knowledge. They know everything. And when they need to execute, they froze.
Yes.
They freeze because there is a negative emotion. It may be, I don't know, anger, anxiety, fear that is overwhelming their system. And simply, they frontal lobe shuts down and they don't even remember it. When they get out of that, like, how I didn't remember this? I knew it. You knew it. You have the data. You didn't have the access. That's called resourcefulness. We all have the same resources available at all the time.
Right.
But are we resourceful? We're going to directly depend on our state. So if I operate in business, if I operate in love, if I operate in sales, in making money, I would rather choose to operate from resourceful mode where I'm calm, joy, and I will go through that point. And then you will see that you will put even more hours than the hustlers will. You will work longer shifts than the hustlers. I mean, I'm putting quote unquote.
Yeah.
Simply because most of them, they burn out, they finish with depression.
True.
The anxiety, they get hooked up on pills. They start avoiding it and numbing themselves down with substances, with alcohol, with whatever it comes with it. And then they destroy their life. But the moment when you learn how to regulate those emotions and to really get to that point, you are unstoppable.
Right. That's so good.
And you're not forcing something, because forcing, that's why I said force versus power. Forcing it's you pretending, you performing, you putting a mask, and you're forcing to show something that you are not truly. Power is when you show up as the most authentic self and you speak your truth. Without even flinching what the world will think or say about you.
So good. Can we pause for a second, y'all? Damn, I got so many clips pocked in. I got so many clips I need to take. Oh my God. Okay. Now, because there's people listening to you like I am right now, like completely like, holy shit, there's a lot of information here, right? So I know that a lot of like performers and a lot of like entrepreneurs and coaches and things like that listen to this show, right? And I speak to a lot of them through like social media or like DMs, things like that, because they'll always tell me, oh, I love this guest, or I'm working with the guest that was on your show, that kind of thing. So someone who's listening right now, right, and has done all of the therapy, has done all of the books, has has gone to different coaches, whatever, and they still feel freaking stuck, right?
Yeah.
What's like one thing, one truth, or one direction that they need to hear from you right now? Like, what do they need right now?
You're not broken.
Right.
You don't need fixing. You're just running an outdated code, software. That we need to update it. I don't see broken people in front of me, no matter what type of condition they come, because you're not broken and you cannot identify.
So good. Yourself.
Just running a certain learning that does not serve your purpose anymore. Let's move that. Let's delete that. Let's install another one. Change. Because we are meant to change, we are meant to evolve, and we are meant to expand consistently. Change is in our nature.
Yeah. You know, it really is in our nature. And, you know, and just to go back what I was saying too about, you know, belief systems and, you know, all of that, I know that there's a scripture that talks about renewing your mind. It really does talk about having to renew your mind so that you don't get bogged down with the things that the world gives you. Because let's be real, a lot of times these things that we hear, right, whether it's in this hustle culture, whether it's in the coaching world, whether it's in business, whatever have you, sometimes contradicts our emotions, contradicts what we want to do. That's why when you said, you know, show up as your authentic self, you know, my first curiosity in my brain is what is truly authentic, right? And then you concluded by saying, showing up the way you truly are without worrying a damn about what anybody thinks of it. Right. And I think that is very, very and say, oh, there you are. What people thought and what people said or what they wouldn't say, like those things meant a lot to me. And the older I got, the less that meant to me. You know, and maybe it's from wisdom and, you know, going through all of the emotional things and getting beat up a little bit. Right. But I love what you said about you are not broken. I know that there's a scripture that says that we are hard pressed on every side. We may feel, but we're not crushed. Right. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. And it talks about that you may be under pressure and you may be gone, but you're not broken. Right. And so I love that you mentioned that and that's what we are giving them as a gift. They are not freaking broken. And I think, no. I hate that word. I always say that. And I got to get rid of that word, Bogdan. I love that you are intentionally rewriting and causing that storm on the mountain, right? Causing that storm for you to think differently, find a new way to get to that market from the top of the, that was a great analogy, right? Yeah. And it is so powerful. And also I know that most people don't stop to think about this, Bogdan. We just don't, right? We go with the emotions. We get up in the morning, we look at our phone and need to see what the emotion is for the day.
Yep.
Right? We have made a simple thing complicated.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So Exactly.
We are habitual beings because 95% of everything that we do is unconscious, is build up a habit. So we don't even think about it. And it's comfortable because we can predict our future. Exactly. You know, you can wake up and you know that you're going to brush your teeth and then you're going to have a coffee and then you're going to have a breakfast and then you're going to take a shower and then you're going to go to work. Break that pattern. In the beginning, it feels uncomfortable, right? Just when you wake up, if you're right-handed, try to brush your teeth with your left hand. You will see.
I say that all the time. That is so good.
It's how uncomfortable it is. And change is uncomfortable because it's not familiar, because we cannot predict the future in that moment.
Okay.
But here is the thing. Comfortable zone is very nice place, yet nothing ever grows there.
Yeah.
When it comes to place.
Yes.
And when we learn to become comfortable with our uncomfortable self, it's when growth starts happening.
Yeah.
When we
so
learn
good.
To sit comfortable with our uncomfortable self. And in my mind, I get excited if I get triggered. You know why? Because that infinite intelligence called unconscious mind just showed me another part of me that I need to deal with. So I instead of me like, oh, I have put so much work in, why do I feel like this? I'm like, thank you, dear unconscious mind, for pointing it out and making it visible for me to understand that I need to work on another part of me right now in the moment.
Yes, yes. I do that also. And I wish I would do that more often than I do, but I do it where something it triggers me and I'm like, oh, that's not, what is that? Why is that coming up? You know? Yeah. So, oh my, okay. Bogdan, I could speak to you probably for another 3 hours. So we're not going to do that to you. Okay. But I do want to know. No, this is important, y'all. Listen up. How do people work with you, follow you, get the info that you're putting out in the world? How do we do that? Because, I mean, damn, you have to come back. You know that, right?
Yeah. So here is a thing. Probably the best way to get familiar with what I do and with myself is probably Instagram, where my handle is Mikov Bogdan, like MikovBogdan. And I have a gift for all of your audience. Ooh. So whoever DMs me and say like, hey, I followed Nina and Straight Talk, I'm going to send them a present. I'm going to send them a gift. And it's going to be a certain exercise so they can actually calm themselves down instantly.
Oh,
or
wow.
Certain materials that only my paying clients, like level clients, have access to. I have no problem of sharing that, just as a supporting them because they support you. So
I love that. Thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you.
That's probably the best way to reach out to me. And then they will find all my links there and all the socials and anything that is connected with my work.
That is awesome. Thank you for being open and willing to answer these sometimes tough questions, but I really wanted to dig into your brain a little bit, you know, because so this is again my faith talking, but I believe God saved you for a reason. And I believe that, you know, going through that stroke and everything was for you to gain knowledge that you didn't have before. And if God has you here, it's for a purpose. And I really am grateful for this conversation.
I agree with that 100%.
Oh, and good. Because I believe
I'm grateful for being here. And I'm also very grateful and thankful that everyone that is allowing me to help them.
Yeah.
Allowing me to give to them. Mm-hmm. I'm involved in a lot of, let's say, charity work, right?
Yeah.
One of my best friends, he has his own charity organization. And in Dubai, in the last 3-4 years, we delivered over 60,000 meals to the most vulnerable categories. Here in Bali, we built 2 schools, 1 orphanage, and we have supported like maybe 5-6 villages, fed more than 10,000 families. Several schools have been built up in Tanzania in that part. And here is the thing where I come from. We have been like everyone in our organization, someone contributes with finances, someone contributes with labor, someone with both. And usually I'm present on the serving when we are serving, when we are delivering meals and everything else. And I don't wait the person that I'm serving them to say thank you. I say thank you for allowing me to be able to serve you today. Thank you for me being able to serve you and to contribute in your life, even just with one meal.
Yeah, Yeah. I'm with you on that. I believe that too. I believe in that servant heart, and I actually do a lot of work myself. And I even work for a nonprofit right now where we're teaching people in culinary how to be cooks so that they can get jobs in the field because they're underserved community. And, I fed over like over 400,000 people in the time of COVID and all of those kind of things. So I totally get your heart on that. And also I believe that it is our duty to do that. It is our duty to do that, right? I feel that what we just give and let God take care of us. Like we give, God takes care. We give, God takes care. And I don't, not because God is my personal bellboy that he just has to do what I say, but because I really believe that it is a part of love and joy and giving, and it's our duty to do it. That's truly what I believe. Thank you for all the work. Thank you.
If we don't carry compassion and if we Why are we even here?
Why are we doing? Exactly. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Okay. I have to wrap up. Okay. Stop. I got to wrap up. I could talk to you forever. Thank you so much for being here, hanging out with me. You are a gift to the world. Thank you so much.
Thank pleasure.
You. It's yes. Thank you. Guys, please make sure that you follow him. Also, make sure that you follow him on Instagram. I'm going to put his information below, but it's at Mikoff Bogdan. I'm going to make sure to put that below so that you can follow him. Also DM him, let him know that you heard him here on Straight Talk, right? Because he's going to give you the tools, some tools and some things for you to get started. Really dig in, guys, because at the end of the day, you're responsible for you. Nobody's responsible for you. You know, I always tell people, oh, you know, they ticked me off. Nope. You ticked you off. You allowed that emotion to happen. So you ticked you off. They get mad when I say those things, Bogdan. They don't take it. They don't take it very well. But the truth of the matter is we're responsible for us. So what we feel, what we do, what we don't do, all of it is because of us. And even though I'm still growing as well and trying to gain knowledge in that, I'm also going to do some of the things that Bogdan talked about, right? It's about pausing. Why is that emotion there and that pinch in the skin? I love the way he used that as an example, because when your body's doing that, it's telling you, hey, hello, something's wrong here. Let's fix this, right? So now I know that. And I'm going to pause and think about things when I start to feel that anxiety, that worry, that pain that comes up that I'm thinking about something. Why is that there? Why am I thinking it? How do I overcome it? Bogdan, you are a gift. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you guys for being with us. This is Nina Perez. I don't want to end. Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.